turn to Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah chapter 9. Find verse 9. Zechariah 9, chapter 9, verse 9. Y'all don't turn to Zechariah very much, do you? Actually, it's quite a prophetic book on the end time. It really is. We don't hear about it much, and people don't preach from it a lot, but it is a prophetic book on the end time. Verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon the colt of a foal of an ass. And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the nations, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from the great river even to the ends of the earth. Father, bless the reading of your word. I pray that as we look at and examine your word this morning, that I claim its promise that it will always accomplish the purpose for which you have given it, to bring glory and honor to Christ and to change us and transform us. In Jesus' holy name I pray. Amen. You and I today are living between 9 and 10. We're not living in the 9th verse, and we're not living in the 10th verse. We're living in between. This passage that I read to you is significant in the fact that it declares the beginning event of Christ's mission in the church and the closing event. Today being the Passover day, the day of triumph of his entry into Jerusalem, Passover still going, that time, that event is significant. Jesus is going to come into Jerusalem. Zechariah tells the nation of Israel how he's going to come. You looking for a king? Well, he's coming. You looking for a strong man? He's coming. You're looking for somebody to deliver you? He's coming. He's a king. Matter of fact, he's a king like you've never seen before. And he's riding on a foal, a colt of a donkey that has never been broken. Maybe led around, but never, never been broken. What an honor for that colt. To bear the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Creator of the universe, Sustainer of life, and Giver of life, he brings him into Jerusalem. What an honor for that colt. Now he's coming. I read to you earlier from Matthew 20, where he told his disciples, they're on their way, and he said to them, I'm going to go, but I'm going to be mistreated. I mean, they're going to come up against me, these religious leaders, and they're going to have the Roman government crucify me, and I'm going to die, and then on the third day, I'm going to rise again. Turn to Matthew 21. Verse 4, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass, a colt, the foal of an ass. Jesus came, and as they got close to Jerusalem, he said to his disciples, I want you to go down. You're going to find a donkey eating. And tied up with her is a colt, her colt. I want you to bring them to me. And if anybody asks you, just tell them the Lord had need of them. And they did what he told them. And they brought him. And he sat upon him. And as he comes into the city, he stops before he gets in it on a hill, and he looks, and he weeps, he cries, because he knows that in 70 AD, that city is going to be laid to waste. There will not be one stone left in the temple standing. Rome will come in and destroy it. Take it down piece by piece. Now, folks, they didn't have 105 and 155 Hollister rounds to blow it down. They didn't have 122 rockets. They took it down manually piece by piece. That's hatred. They sieged the city. People died. Starvation. I don't know how true it is. There's stories sometimes you read in books that it was so bad that even some of the parents ate their babies to survive. That's bad. And Jesus weeps. Because the deliverer is there. But the religious people are so blind, they can't see God in their midst. This is not just a man. It's God. And he's riding in their midst. He's humble, he's meek, he's lowly. Riding on this donkey, he's not coming with a white stallion. They were looking for a white stallion and a warlord. That's not who Jesus is at this time. Oh, he's going to be that later, let me tell you, and they ain't going to like it. And a lot of folks living today ain't going to like it. He's coming now to bring salvation, deliverance, life, life change, transformation from death unto real life. He's coming to do that by dying on the cross, by taking your sin and my sin upon himself. And he gives us life. And he asks us, if you want to follow me, you want to be part of my disciples, you want to be changed, take up your cross daily and follow me. be in union with me. Not someone else, but with me. Now in Luke 19, a rather lengthy passage, beginning in verse 28 down through verse 44. I'm not going to read it all. But this is his coming. And Luke's very good at historical and accurate things. In verse 38, they're saying, "Blessed be the King who cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." They're crying out. They're laying palm branches in front of the animal. They're laying their coats in front of the animal. They're crying out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, praise God, bless the King, bless the King." Well, folks, those same people in a few days, because of religious leaders, are going to say, "Crucify, crucify, crucify." People are fickle in crowds, and a lot of times individually. He said here, they're blessing. Now I want you to look at the next two verses. "And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples." In other words, shut them up. And he says, verse 40, "And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." I've known people who question that. I don't question it one bit. Stones on the ground, stones on the wall, stones on the temple area. If they had not cried out, Jesus said they would. Why would they? Because he made them. Why do we, who have life change, why do we, who have the Holy Spirit living in us, keep our mouths shut and don't declare his glory and his presence and his power to save and change lives? Why do we shut up when he said, if my disciples didn't cry out, these stones would? Will we not someday give an account for our quietness? I think we will. He says, this was done to fulfill what Zechariah said. And Jesus went to the cross. He was nailed there, mistreated, abused, mocked, laughed at, scorned, taken down, put in a grave, a big stone rolled in front. It was sealed with a Roman government seal, which meant only the official that was qualified could break that seal. And yet, an angel rolled it back so you could see that he wasn't there. He's already gone. You see, he didn't have to have the stone moved to get out. If he can walk through a door, he can walk through a rock. You ought to give me an amen there. There's nothing he can't do. If he can walk through a door and walk through a rock, can he not transform people's lives? He can. He has unlimited authority and unlimited power. Unlimited. He came. Verse 10 says, "And I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off. And he will speak peace unto all the nations, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea, and from river even to the ends of the earth." Wait a minute. When that happened? Well, it hasn't yet. But it's going to. Okay? Turn with me to Revelation 19. I found it interesting that Luke 19 and Revelation 19 both had this in them. Revelation 19, beginning in verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." Wow. "And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head, on his head were many crowns, and his name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies that were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Amen. Jesus coming again. He's not coming riding on a donkey. He's not coming to go to the cross. He's not coming to have his beard pulled out and his face slapped and his back ripped open. He's not coming for that. He's riding that white stallion they looked for the first time. And he's coming with an army on white horses and white linen, clean and righteous. That's you and me if we're saved, born again, transformed, the church. That's us. And he comes against all the armies. Armageddon's about to happen. The battle is about to take place. A 2 million man army is going to come against Jerusalem from China. They already have the 2 million man army, folks. They already have it. It's on the horizon. Russia, and I believe a confederation of Muslim nations. 3. Does he draw the sword and start slicing? No. A word from his mouth slays them. He told the angels, call the birds. Tell them there's a feast coming. Get them here. Because they all die. And you can't bury that many bodies. Let the animals have them. We go back to dust anyway. Folks, if you're not covered by the blood of the Lamb, you'll be under the judgment and condemnation of the Lamb. God didn't send them into the world to condemn the world. He sent him into the world to bring salvation and deliverance. John 3:18 says, if you don't believe, you're condemned already because you have not believed. The sentence hasn't been carried out on you yet. God's still graciously giving you time, but the trumpet's going to sound one of these days. Let me read that to you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. They're going to be a great getting up day. Find verse 13. He said, But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not precede them who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then he says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Folks, just like he came the first time, he's coming again. He is coming again. Now, I know it's been about 2,000 years. And I know we get lax. And I know that we don't think about it. But I'm telling you, the trumpet could sound and the archangel could shout before you get home. It'll happen in the twinkle of an eye. Graves will open up for bodies to be changed and transformed into a living body all over in the water, wherever they are. And in that same twinkle, you and I will be gone, poof, changed and transformed. And oh, by the way, everything you're living for that's so important, going to get left behind. You ain't taking any of it with you. You're not going to need it no more. I mean, if you can walk on streets of gold, what the heck do we need down here to take with us? Gold's so pure, it's transparent. We don't got anything that pure down here. Jesus is coming again. The question is, are you ready? Folks, you don't have time to get ready for the second coming. He's told you about it. He took his disciples aside on the way to Jerusalem and said to them, I'm going to die down there, and they're going to mistreat me and abuse me. And just that week it happened. But he doesn't come and say, you know, Good Friday's coming. And on Good Friday, I'm coming again. If you knew he was coming Good Friday, there are a lot of things you do get ready for his coming, right? Wouldn't we? I mean, God too. But we don't know when he's coming. It could come any time. And it's going to be ugly when he comes. The rapture of the church happens before he comes. Are you ready for that? If not, get ready this morning. It's not hard.
Jesus talking to you, Holy Spirit working on you, give your heart and life to him. Talk to him just like you're talking to me or the person sitting next to you. God here, he's in our presence. He walks up and down through the church all the time. Every time we gather, he's here. We've been studying the churches of Revelation. Come on. He walks up and down the midst of the church. And he knows everything about you. Inside and out. Upside down. He knows. Read Psalm 139. It'll tell you everything he knows about you. If you're not ready, you can be ready this morning. Admit you can't save yourself. He's the only one that can save you. Believe that he died on the cross for you in your place. Confess him as Lord and Savior. Confess your sins and return from them to him for life. ABC, not hard. I'm not going to tell you life's easy after that, because it's not. But I'm telling you, there's peace and joy in your heart like you've never experienced before. That I'll tell you if you turn to him. Every head bowed. Father, you know our needs. You know our hearts. You know our lives. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.